Hey, come on, welcome to BC, and I'm hoping that we come to this place. Let me just share, even coming out of worship, man, it is my desire and it is my goal that when we get to, thank you, brother, Euchre Champ, Matt Kolb, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Brian Kolb, Euchre Champ, 2021 men's retreat, baby, 1 point. Jay had nothing on you, bro. Nothing on you. Come on. My dad was his partner in that last game. Got him the points, baby. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 33, and I was just thinking about this as we were singing, you know, let all the earth fear the Lord. Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Now, when you come to a place, and that's obviously, this is written even before the cross. You and I, man, we stand in a New Testament world, man. We stand in a covered in the blood world. We stand in a place to see everything is written down for us. And we see the goodness of God. We see God's love for us that was demonstrated for us while Christ hung on a cross. That love was demonstrated for you and I. We walk in this place to truly be amazed at Christ, amazed at God, amazed at his love. But what is it that the whole earth would fear the Lord? To walk in that reverence and that respect, that all the world would walk in this place to be in awe of him. To be in that place of awe and wonder. And we come to this place to worship, and we come to this place of praise. Man, I'm just putting everything on the table this morning to say, listen, this is my goal, is this morning we begin our journey to the cross. And then next week we continue the week that Jesus had, the week before he put himself on the cross. And then we go into Good Friday and we look at the cross and the crucifixion. And then we go into Sunday, April 4th, and just really speaking about the victory over death by our resurrected Savior. And the King truly came out of that grave. And the power there is. And when you understand there is authority and there is power in the name of Jesus, you walk to a different beat when you understand I function from a different authority. I function from a different place. I function under the name of Jesus. I function as one who is covered by the blood of Christ. I function as one who will not fear death. Why? Because I want to be a part of all the earth that walks in this reverence and this fear of God, and I want to be a part of the whole world that will stand in awe. And church, what happens when you come to a place to begin to realize what it means to honestly worship and praise? I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to get into this, man. I'm excited about the next four services. That's including Good Friday. Man, and I know we have a lot of college students, and I know Houghton, we're huge fans of Houghton. I'm a big fan of the baseball players. The baseball players were telling me today that they are 6-0. I heard that they were doing well, but the baseball team, the Houghton baseball team is 6-0. And then I asked them, I said, is there any other sports in Houghton? They're like, no, not really. Nothing that anybody wants to talk about. I'm like, game on. I said, let's go. Come on. And I don't know if any of the other Houghton students who are athletics would have anything to say about that. But I'm just trying to start a war at Houghton. It's amazing. Let's go. Come on. But congrats, Houghton baseball team, 6-0. They said, I think we have a tennis team that may have won. But, you know, that's awesome. Come on. The dude must have a girlfriend on the tennis team because, never mind. I don't want to get into tennis. But anyways, here we go. Our Bonaventure, they played, they made the tournament. We're juiced about our region. That includes St. Bonas and our basketball team. Bummed. I wish they could have come out of the gate a lot stronger, but it's all good, man. We're so excited for a great season, and I believe that every one of the players are coming back, so I think next year is going to be killer year. So I'm just excited about sports and athletics. The Pittsburgh Steelers, as you well know, we got our man Juju coming back, and we're excited about that. He says, listen, there's something special about this team. I'm just saying, I think they're going to the Super Bowl, and we're kind of excited about that for 2022. Go Steelers. Here we go. It'll be different this year. Here we go. Come on. We're ready. Come on, would you turn with me, please, to a few places? And we're going to start. We're going to look at this where Jesus started his journey to Jerusalem, and he started his journey to the cross. We're going to look at what would the mindset be if you knew you had 1 week to go? right? If you could turn me a couple places, Mark 10, and we're going to look at John 12, and then Luke 10. And we're going to get into these places. Mark 10 is where we'll start, John 12, and then we're going to Luke 10. And I just want to kind of set this up, because when you look at Jesus, who knew all things, Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. Jesus knew exactly what it meant to be crucified. He knew what it meant to be flogged. He knew what it meant to be whipped. He knew what it was going to take to be betrayed. He knew every single moment of what was going to take place. He knew it. He knew what was going to take. He knew the cost. What would that week be like when you start that journey to the cross? What does that week look like when you know this is how it's going to end? You know that. Come on, have you ever had a huge, huge event in your life that you knew, man, it's a week away? How do you prep for something like that? Whether it was a major surgery, whether it was just the simple interview for your career job, something that would get your heart going. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's maybe it's you getting married and that's a week away and you're like, oh, this is the biggest decision of my life. I have Jesus, but man, I am with this person forever. Like this is, woo, what is, man, and you begin to know what it means for your heart to get going. Call it butterflies, call it anxiety, call it whatever you want to call it. Huge event 1 week away, where you at? Could you imagine where Jesus is 1 week away? And yet he functions, yes, he is God in the flesh, but he functions from 100% man. He functions from 100% emotions of a man. He functions from 100% the place of knowing the pain and the hurt, but it's different. It's different because he knows the outcome. You and me could be going in to an event that we don't know the outcome. I don't know what that interview looks like. I don't know. I'm believing the marriage is going to be great, but man, this is a big step. I don't know. Man, I'm going in for some serious, serious surgery, and I don't know the outcome of this. But what happens when you come to a place where Jesus knew every time he'd be spit on? He knew every time he'd take a hit. He knew every time that whip would come across his back. He knew what it would be like to hang on that cross. He knew. That God the Father would have to turn his back on him. And he knew it all. And walking in a place of having the same emotions that you and I have. What would it look like to walk in Jesus' emotions that week before? I believe in chapel, it is my hope that when we get to the close of our Easter service, you've got this morning, you've got next week. Next week, we're going to do a deep dive in the Last Supper. And I'm so excited to bring out so many things that you see in the Last Supper. And then the Friday after that, we go into Good Friday, and that is going to be so powerful. Please invite somebody to that Good Friday service as we really do a serious deep dive in the flogging and in the crucifixion, and to know this is what Jesus has done for me. I want Good Friday to change you. I want our time before the cross, and we're going to have communion, that you would come to a place to never worship the same again. Because by the end of Easter, I want you to be so compelled to praise and worship and be amazed and understand this is why I love him. I love him more, and I walk in his place to want to be in obedience more. I want to walk in his place to have a greater respect and a greater awe of who he is and what he's done for me. Man, I want my worship and my praise and my faith to go to a different place after the next four services. I'm so pumped for this. I'm hoping that as we go through the course of the next four services, you come to a place of an eruption within your spirit to say, this is why I love him. This is why I walk in obedience to him. This is why I walk in a great fear of him. This is why I worship the way I worship. This is why I celebrate the way I celebrate. This is why I praise the way I praise. It's because of what I know that he did for me. That's the next four services. And it starts with Mark 10, and you see where Jesus is beginning to define the work that's going to take place. He's mentioned this to his disciples before. Come on, let's get into this. Mark 10, please. Verse 32. Mark 10, 32. If you would just pray with me. Father, I am so amazed to be here this morning. I thank you so much. What a privilege it is to be able to speak your word and your truth. What an honor it is to be the pastor of this house. I love this place and I love these people and I love your word. Jesus, we love you. We just ask that by your spirit, you'd move by your word this morning and you would speak to us. You would speak to us today. God, give us an eye to see what we need to see. Give us an ear to hear exactly what we need to hear. And Father, I pray that every heart in this place would respond to you. That we would respond to you in this. In Jesus' name, come on. Amen. Amen. Here we go. And it's so great because me and Brennan had some talks about our timing, and we have got out of here late the last few weeks. And I told Miss Katie's going to be closing us in a song, and I told her, I said, I will end mid-sentence to get us out on time today. I will just cut it off, and I'll be done. She's like, no, you won't. I'm like, that's a challenge. Let's do it. Come on. But I do appreciate your patience because we were out late. But how about our marriage series, Abundantly Good? Was that just not amazing? I appreciate all of the encouragement off of that. I appreciate the young people who are single going, that I need that. I'm excited about what's ahead. I'm pumped about the marriage. Those who are married saying that was amazing. And again, we had Renee and I were on stage for most of this. Albert crushed it, flying solo on speaking on forgiveness. He's speaking at another church this morning on that same topic. And then our panel was amazing. And then last week, Renee crushed it in the bedroom talk. And we were so blessed by that. And I hope you had a fruitful week. High five. Here we go. Married couples anyways. Amen. Get on it. Here we go. Come on. I want you to see this. Mark 10, verse 32. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem. This is the beginning of the week. This is the beginning of that week before that Friday, that going to the cross. This is the beginning. He's like, all right, hey, huddle up. This is why I'm here. This week is the purpose why I've come. And he gets his disciples together, and he's done this in the past, and he begins to try to lay out to them the plan that's going to take place. He begins to try to drop some seed in his followers and his disciples going, hey, guys, I need you to be aware of what's going to take place. I mean, it's amazing, church, when he spells it out so crystal clear, and yet they still didn't get it. It's unbelievable. And look what he says. Look at, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Hey, guys, huddle up. This is the deal. This is going to take place. They've walked this road to Jerusalem for 3 years. They know this road, but this time it's different. This time it's different. It's the close. It's the end game. It's the fourth quarter, man. This is it for Jesus. It's the fourth quarter. He's done his work. He's done his ministry. He's walked into place to show who he is. He's loved. He's had compassion. And what he has come for is right up ahead. And he calls a huddle with his disciples, with his 12. He says, he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the disciples are like, okay, we've been on this road before. What's different this time? Like, we've been on the road to Jerusalem. We've done ministry in Jerusalem, but like, what's the difference here? Watch this. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. That's kind of clear. Pretty crystal, right? Let me read it again. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him. They will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and kill him. Watch this, verse 34. Mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and kill him. Isn't it amazing that Jesus knows every single time someone spits on him? He knows that. He prophesies that. He understands that. He knew every single time. That's just the littlest thing. And amazing that we know that he knew. And in 3 days, he will rise again. So we see that he begins his journey, and he's trying to really encourage his disciples on what begins to take place here. And if you would turn with me, please, to John chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read this because I want you to see where Jesus truly begins the week. John 12 says this: Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. This is 6 days before the Passover. This is 6 days before the Last Supper. So this is it, man. He's in the end game here. This is 6 days before the Last Supper. And next week, I'm juiced about going into the Last Supper. Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. This is just incredible. Like, because just a short time ago, Jesus, chapter 11, Jesus just raises Lazarus from the dead, right? So we see where Jesus has this amazing relationship with Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. So here, it's amazing to see, and I love to see the reality of who does Jesus spend time with? Who did Jesus on purpose go and see? Like in his final week. I mean, God, don't, yes, he's Jesus. Yes, he's God. But don't miss that he is 100% man. And throughout the next four services, you will see where Jesus was, where the battle was emotionally, where the battle was physically, and where the battle was spiritually. 100% man, knowing exactly what's going to take place. Man, I ask myself, who did Jesus spend time with? Who did Jesus go into their home? Whether he's trying to be built up, whether he's trying to be encouraged. Listen, he loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha in a sense of relationship and friendship. In a sense of people that he could spend time with in the most trying time of his days. I'm going to this house to spend some time with these people. And just watch what takes place here. You got to remember, man, he just, a short time ago, he just raised Lazarus from the dead. And what a scene that was. What a scene that was. Lazarus is in the grave for 4 days. They're like, hey, what are you going to, are you sure, Jesus, are you sure you want to do this? Because they said he's been in there for 4 days. He's going to stink. Like, thanks, I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm Jesus, I got this. I'm good. Lazarus, come out. But I don't have time to get into that because I've got to get done. I'll be done on time today. But when you look at that story of Lazarus, the Bible says Jesus wept. If you want to memorize a verse, two words, get it. Jesus wept. But why was he so emotional when he knew all he had to do was call his name, and he knew he was going to call his name? That shows the depth of the relationship that he had for Lazarus and Mary and Martha. That shows the depth of the friendship that he had, that they were just broken and they were lost and they were mourning and they were broken. And even though Jesus knew, watch this, I'm about to call his name, he still was broken for those who were broken, but he knew he was going to call them out of the grave. It's amazing, church, to see the depth of his love for this family. And Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Jesus. And Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. So here you've got Jesus. They've had a meal. They're reclining at the table. It's not like the recliner with the handle. It's more they kind of laid out on their sides, and they're just having great conversations. And you could imagine being around a table with Jesus. You could imagine the stories that Jesus would tell. Like, this is, like, you got to understand something. Jewish culture, to sit around a table, they spent a lot of time sitting at a table talking and going over and just having great laughter and fun. That's family. So Jesus is sitting there. Martha is cooking a meal. Mary is going through this whole, and we're going to dive into this. Mary is going through again another scene of being at Jesus' feet. Martha's busy. She's serving. Mary's at Jesus' feet. Lazarus is reclining at the table. And I go into my mindset and I begin to think, like, what was that conversation like with Lazarus and Jesus? Like, you waited for Jesus. Listen, I'm glad to be alive. High five. But it took you 4 days to get here. Like, you knew, and then I heard afterwards that they told you, and you just, whoo, and you know, you waited. Like, I was dead, and you're like, yeah, we'll go in a couple days. Like, I'm joking in that sense of, like, these great conversations around the table when you're sitting with the one who actually just raised you from the dead, and you're like, ah, you did that for me. Woo! And you're just like amazed by this, right? And then you see Martha serving. And you see Mary loving. And I want you to see this. Verse 2, so they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with them. But Mary took a pound of very costly perfume, pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. I mean, that just shows honor. That just shows where she was in awe of Jesus, amazed by Jesus, thankful for Jesus. And we see a picture of this again, and we'll get there in Luke 10. We'll see a very similar picture of Martha serving and Mary just being at the feet of Jesus. Martha serving and Mary being at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes to Jesus and said, would you please tell Mary to do something? And what do we see here? We see Martha serving. And we see Mary just pouring this oil in a place of honor, in a place of love, and anointing his feet with oil and with her hair, wiping his feet with her hair. Like, this is an amazing, amazing scene. And Jesus, watch this, Jesus on purpose said, I need to be in this house my last week. I need to be with these people. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, whom was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii? Isn't it amazing that it's not his money, but he's so worried about somebody else's money? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that at times we get so worried about other people's money that's not your business in any way, shape, or form? But isn't that amazing that Judas here is worried about her money? It's her perfume. It's what she saved up for. It's something that is very, very, very costly and is very expensive. Isn't it amazing that Judas is pointing and talking and judging? And I love how he wants to give other people's money to the poor. Isn't that amazing? Right? He's worried, and we will read it. He's not worried about the poor one bit. He was just a thief, and he wanted the money for himself. But isn't it amazing that in his statement, he wants to make himself look good and walk in his place and say, ah, that could have been used for the poor. Well, dude, hey, betrayer, it's not your money. Isn't it amazing? We love to tell other people what to do with their money and where it actually should go. But because, watch this, and he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used the to pilfer what was into it. He was a thief. Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone, so they may keep it. Watch this. This is incredible. Let her alone, that she may keep it for the day of my burial. I mean, you've got Jesus, right? He huddled the guys up. We're headed to Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen. I'm about to die. I'm going to get spit on. I'm going to get killed. This is what's going to take place. And then he's in this home of dear, dear friends of his. And Mary is anointing his feet with oil. And of course, Judas is coming against her. And then Jesus comes against Judas and says, hey, she's preparing me for burial.